This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'll bet that you have never heard an Intelligent Medicine Podcast about the subject we're about to engage in. And I know this for a fact because I've been doing this radio show and podcast for working on 30 years. And we have not covered this subject. It is an important part of integrative medicine these days. It's oxidative therapies, in particular ozone therapy. So today we're turning to an expert. She's Isadora Guggenheim. She's a naturopathic physician. She's an RN and nutritionist. And she focuses in her practice at Piermont Gynecology, which is in Piermont, New York. That's actually a destination for a lot of cyclists. They come from Manhattan and they cycle over the George Washington Bridge, and I know the route very well because I've done it. Go up to a beautiful place called Piermont in Rockland County. It's about 30, 40 miles out of New York, and then they turn around and they come back, and that's a very, very ambitious and challenging bike ride. But it's a frequently trekked route. Up at Piermont, she performs a variety of treatments, including ozone therapy. So we're going to talk to Isadora about that. Isadora, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, so first of all, what is ozone therapy? Can you give us a basic definition? And how does it fit in? There's a broad rubric, oxidative therapies. It's actually among the oxidative therapies.
Yes, so ozone therapy has been in use for the last 150 years. They first discovered its application clinically, probably in the battlefields of World War I, with gangrene, and that they used topical ozone to heal wounds that wouldn't heal our chronic infections.
Mm-hmm. And so ozone being a very disinfecting substance. In fact, there are some pools that some of the Olympic pool sites, they eschew chemical decontamination of the water, and they use ozone for a purification. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when we hosted the Olympics in L.A. in, I can't remember which year, 1990-something, the European swimmers would not get into our pools until they got rid of all the chlorine and then put in ozonation equipment. And sadly, after the Olympics, then they changed it back. But ozone is known to kill bacteria, fungi, and viruses at much lower concentrations than chlorine. It takes about one molecule of ozone, which is equivalent to up to 10,000 molecules of chlorine. And it kills 3,500 times faster than chlorine without the toxic residue. But ozone therapy is widely in use around the planet. In different countries, probably most of the research comes out of Cuba. They have 35 years worth of research, but they also have it from Germany and India, mm-hmm. all over.
Right. I must interject that actually this is something that years and years ago I studied, because I dabbled in ozone therapy in the 1980s, and I actually traveled to Germany to observe various centers performing ozone therapy there. And here it's considered exotic, but there it's mm-hmm. actually considered, you know, it's widely accepted. It's part of the armamentarium of integrative medicine over there, very popular treatment.
Yes, in Germany, two things. One is if you go into a doctor's office and you have an infection, they have to offer you two things. One is an antibiotic. The other one is ozone. If they don't offer it, then they can be brought up on medical negligence charges. The other thing is that Germany studied ozone in relationship to stroke, and most ambulances in Germany have an ozone generator because on the chance that someone's having a stroke, you can prevent oxidative damage in the brain tissue, you know, immediately after a stroke.
Interesting. So, you know, ozone is more mainstream over there. You know, one of the knocks against ozone in this country is that ozone is thought to be potentially harmful to the lungs. And therefore,
right.
I mean, if you breathe ozone, I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles. We're in Los Angeles when the pollutants were high, and they would talk about the ozone counts. And when the ozone was high, that was considered dangerous for your lungs. Your lungs would burn.
Yes, because the ozone does protect our atmosphere or stratosphere. And so once we have a hole in the ozone, but that kind of ozone is very different than the medical application. So when we use it medically, and you never want to breathe in ozone directly, that can go cause someone to go into bronchospasm, nor do you want to inject what's called DIV, direct injection into the vein. You never want to inject ozone into a vessel.
But some people do that. That actually has been a form of therapy, that they sort of bubble the ozone directly into a vein. And that's not something that you condone, right?
No, not at all. In fact, if you're a member of any legitimate ozone society, both domestically and internationally, we have to sign affidavits stating that we do not offer DIV, because it is linked to several fatalities, five in this country. One of my teachers, Dr. Schallenberger, has, you know, been an expert witness in these court cases, and you can throw a pulmonary emboli. And
right.
So you never know when that's
going to
happen.
Dr. Atkins, in fact, way back when, was using that therapy, and he got into trouble. He beat the rap, but this may be an apocryphal story, but it was said that he spent $1 million defending himself from medical discipline due to ozone administered that way, the wrong way, where they literally bubbled it into the patient. I think they even said to the patient, "Hey, you do this. You know, I got to go and answer a phone call. You know, here you can push it. You know, to push it at your own rate.
Yeah.
You know, through a syringe."
No. Well, one thing we do, I mean, first of all, we're licensed, we're credentialed. We would never jeopardize the health of a patient. No matter how small the risk is, we just won't do that. And so we administer it by international standards, meaning that we only use medical oxygen. We have, like, the most advanced equipment from Germany. And basically, in a nutshell, we're drawing out through a small butterfly and through vacuum extraction 250 milliliters of blood into a non-toxic eye set. And then once that gets filled up, then we do continuous ozones, and the ozone has an affinity with hemoglobin. So it saturates the blood.
I've done it, and the blood looks super bright, bright red. You know, the venous blood, which, you know, generally looks kind of wine-colored, becomes fire engine red
the ozone. We just had a new patient this morning who's going to be running in the Boston Marathon on Monday. And so he came in to get a treatment because it does up your sports performance, because even Schallenberger did a lot of research, found that even the top athletes had low oxygen deficiency and immunosuppression because of training too hard. And ozone is the only thing we know in nature where it's immediate, and it goes in and it increases your quality of red blood cells. It increases the oxygen to all tissues. And it also removes phenolics, or poisonous compounds of methanol and benzene, pesticides, detergents, all of that. And it activates the immune system while improving cellular utilization of oxygen.
Well, let's take a look at, you know, some of these scientific claims about ozone. Because, I mean, clearly, you know, ozone at a high dose is a free radical. It can induce oxidative damage. You know, there's actually this duality of oxygen. Oxygen is necessary, but oxygen at very high concentrations, and ozone in particular, has the capability of creating free radicals in the body. So how do you explain its benefits when, you know, we spend so much time talking about antioxidants, take antioxidants, and so on?
Yes, and so when you put in ozone into the system, it kicks off the motherlode pathway of NRF2. And so from that, then, and there's a small piece of hydrogen peroxide, there's also a water molecule, but the benefits are, even though the chemicals may be small, the benefits, biological benefits are big. And so then that kicks off all of the antioxidant properties. So it doesn't really, if you use it appropriately in the right administration and the right dose, then you're not creating free radicals. And we've even used this.
And these doses have been worked out experimentally and tested
for safety. And a lot of this, for safety. A lot of this came from Cuba and other places where they really did very good stringent and data on this, you know, using that as a treatment. So if someone comes in, and let's say they have terminal cancer, and we certainly see a lot of people with that, of course we can't make a guarantee that it's going to, you know.
Yeah, it's not a standalone therapy, not some, you know, miracle.
No, not
panacea.
At all. No, yeah. People combine it with chemo, they combine it with radiation, and it actually helps protect the healthy tissues. But then in terms of gamma or the strength of ozone, you can go up to...
Gamma is a unit of concentration, you know, like...
Unit of concentration,
right,
yeah. Right. So most machines go up to no further than 78, maybe 80. But if someone's healthy, like you're an athlete, you would probably do 70. If you have terminal cancer and we see that you have anorexia and you're failing in many aspects, then we would put that gamma down to 30. It has to be biologically active. You have to be above 20 in order to get a biological effect. But you don't want to run someone, you know, full throttle.
Right. So I've heard it said that paradoxically, what happens when you take ozone is it challenges your system a little bit, but then your system rises to the occasion. So your own manufacturer of glutathione and superoxide dismutase and some of these protective substances is revved in response to the ozone challenge.
That's correct. And it also releases these growth factors. So you can stimulate damaged joints, degenerative discs. Mm-hmm. You can increase fibroblastic activity. It also has been proven by Dr. Lahudney's method, which is what's called a 10-pass, that at a certain gamma and volume, ozone releases and activates stem cells so that you can repair tissues through the body. He did that because, as we know, stem cell therapy is in its infancy, and it's also quite expensive. So this was a cheaper way to allow access for the patient.
So there are different ways of administering ozone. You mentioned one way that's not good is to bubble it in directly, hope that the bubbles aren't too big and, you know, become air emboli. That's the term when you get a bubble in your heart or in your lung. So use the major autohemotherapy. What happens is the ozone gets mixed in the bottle, and then the bottle of blood, your own blood, is introduced into you. Bright red.
It's back in. Right, yes. And that works very efficiently.
That's the major autohemotherapy,
Major autohemotherapy, yes, or it's called HBOT. There's several names for it. But you can also do, I even worked on a newborn who had an ear infection. The parent was reluctant to do an antibiotic, so we did a trial of insufflating ozone into the ear, and the child recovered quite beautifully because it, you know, was able to go, it's absorbed through the tympanic membrane. So if there was fluid or infection behind, you can
this also is like a little puff of ozone into the
puff of ozone,
ear canal.
Yes, exactly. And then you can also do ozone, I do injections into joints to repair.
That's the so-called prolozone,
exactly. Yeah. Not prolotherapy, but prolozone, because it's ozone makes the difference. You can also do vaginal, rectal, and bladder insufflation. So we do bladder insufflation with interstitial cystitis patients with success, and it reduces the pain and inflammation. They may not have a pathogen, but they may just have like a this sort of chronic residue of inflammatory whatever, and it addresses that. Vaginal ozone, of course, that's a canal, so we don't, there are some people who make claims about, you know, curing herpes with ozone with vaginal insufflation. That's not true, and because herpes, as you know, is located or stored in the spinal nerve roots.
Right, in the nerves, yeah.
In the nerve, so it's not an effective way to get at it, but we have used it, and we developed a technique with HPV of injecting ozone into the cervix. Different, like 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And then you can do rectal ozone. However, a very famous ozone provider, Bocci from Italy, he mentions that, you know, you really have to do either a warm water enema or a colonic, and then offer the rectal insufflation, because the mucoid proteins in the rectum can neutralize the ozone, and there's always fecal matter. Mm-hmm. That's there.
So the applications might be for conditions like proctitis, mm-hmm. or even ulcerative colitis. Mm-hmm. I've seen it touted for that. I don't have any direct experience with that.
Yeah, we do that. I mean, pretty much we've seen, unless it's some really rare disease that just belongs at the NIH, we have really seen every autoimmune condition. We've seen every kind of cancer. We've also treated chronic and acute Lyme. And that's not a straight directional, you know, therapeutic success, but over time, there seems to be a demarcation with, especially with people who have babesiosis or Bartonella. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to kill those tick-borne organisms.
It's hard to kill. Yeah. Exactly. But ozone doesn't care what form it's in, whether it's cis form, L form, cis spirochete form. It goes in and it really, it's like a heat-seeking missile. Same with, other pathogens. And usually with the chronic Lymers, you know, we'll say we'll come once a week for 12 weeks, and then they may come in like for the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks and say, well, I don't feel anything. I feel nothing. And then by the 6th or 7th week, then it's like there's this demarcation switch that it's like they come in and they say, oh my God, I feel normal. And then what we do is work to try and normalize those normal days closer mm-hmm. together, almost like contractions, you know, they're getting closer together.
So what is a course of treatment like? I mean, do you have to do very frequent treatments over a long period of time? I guess it varies from condition to condition.
It does vary. I think what our standard is, and which pretty much follows an international standard, is having the person come once a week, or we start them with one, and we start with a lower dose. Maybe we'll ozonate 500 milliliters to see what their response is. We're very careful about that. Also, we include what's called homotoxicology, which these are biologics from Germany, which are usually plant-based, and mm-hmm. they regionalize. So if somebody has ulcerative colitis, then there are specific remedies we would use for that, or if they have rheumatoid arthritis, mm-hmm. like that.
Did you study in Germany to see how they administer
it? I had the value or benefit of studying with Dr. Frank Schallenberger. Okay. I did study in Switzerland for cancer modalities as a naturopathic medical student. And so that's where I learned some of the homotoxicology. So then mm-hmm. once I learned ozone and then my naturopathic background, and I'm also a family nurse practitioner, but I kind of put everything all together in what I thought made sense, because mm-hmm. it's complicated and there's a lot of variables and there's no one simple answer for any condition.
And by the way, you don't do this under your naturopathic credentials or your RN credentials. It's actually a medically supervised procedure. There's an MD who is part of your practice.
That's right. And I'm also a family nurse practitioner who is allowed to practice on her own because I've accrued so many supervision hours.
So where can, you know, listeners who are wonky, you know, want to look at studies on this? I mean, clearly, mm-hmm. if I'm talking about something, you know, perhaps a little more mainstream, like, curcumin, or mm-hmm. fish oil, you know, you go on, on the internet and you can find literally hundreds and hundreds of studies. These things become more mainstream in the scientific community. But where do you find studies on ozone? Is the research robust? Okay. Is it in English? Do you have to get it in Spanish or German?
It's in many languages, and that can be translated. But when I presented at the Integrative Health Symposium in February, I had 10 pages of references.
I have your slides, but I didn't catch your live presentation.
Yeah, that's okay.
You sent them to me.
But I think a good one to start would be with the one from Bocci in 2011. And he's in the title, it's about the mechanisms of action of ozone. And there's a lot of discussion. There's robust discussion in our international groups, and there's a really good dialogue about it because, not everybody agrees about everything, but there are generalities and standards that we all abide by. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an exciting field to be in because people are always trying to contribute new information. We're always presenting cases, so no one's practicing in a vacuum, and, you know, what do you think about this? And and all of that. And people who are leaders in the field certainly weigh in. I mean, it's an incredible environment, work environment, to be part of online.
Well, that's great. Okay. I'm glad to hear that the research and the scientific rigor is robust for this therapy, which is, frankly, a little bit exotic. It's a little off the main stream of even integrative medicine, but it's part and parcel of our armamentarium of things we can do for patients. Let's pause at this point because we divide our podcast into two parts. We got more questions on the subject of oxidative therapy and, in particular, ozone therapy. Our guest is Isadora Guggenheim. She's a naturopathic physician as well as an RN and nutritionist, and her practice is at Piermont Gynecology. You want to get out that information, please?
Sure, and to be clear, we actually moved to NIAC. So if you look, it's fine, it's fine. So if people want to look it up, they can look it up by my last name.
That's even closer on the bicycle, I think.
It's 3 miles north, but it's still a fun time. It's 3 miles north.
I made it to Piermont, but I never made it to NIAC. So,
okay. It's okay. You went out to the pier, and it was a beautiful office there, but we then shifted because we needed more space. But it's www.secondnaturecare.com.
Okay, great. We'll be right back with more on the subject of ozone therapy with Isadora Guggenheim. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.